Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. It's Dr. Lisa here today. I'm on my own, and I'm going to share 10 strategies to prevent that 2 p.m. slump. Right now, we're about mid-October here in Canada, and it's so dark in the morning, and it's starting to get dark around dinner time. And a lot of patients are complaining that it's hard to get out of bed, that they're exhausted in the day, and that their motivation is low. Yes, it is a time of year where we are supposed to rest a little bit more, but as mamas, we have to get through the day. So let me give you some strategies on ways to give you that extra boost to prevent that afternoon slump and just to have as a good reset. So you don't have to do all of these, but these are things to consider. So I want you to think about how you're starting your day. So number one tip is starting your day doing something you love. Do you do that right now? Or are you rolling out of bed at the last minute after you've hit snooze 3 times and then you're feeling behind already in the day? Granted, there's probably going to be nights where that happens or mornings where that happens if your kids have been up or you haven't slept well because you're in perimenopause and you might be getting night sweats and insomnia. But as much as possible, plan something that you enjoy first thing. Myself, I love getting in movement in the morning, followed by some deep breathing and yoga stretching. So I carve out extra time. I actually go to bed pretty early. I'm usually in bed by about 9:30. I never thought I would say that. You know, in my 20s, I was definitely more of a night owl, but now I'm more of a morning lark. But I give up a little bit of TV time and reading time so that I have that space in the morning to actually start the day with movement and breathing and body awareness. And that was one of the things I really missed when I was breastfeeding because the schedule was so unpredictable, but I'd modify it and even try to get 5-10 minutes of yoga in wherever possible. So it doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to be dogmatic about it, but I set my alarm for 5:30. Sometimes I get up a little bit earlier before my alarm if I've had a really good sleep. And I do different types of workouts. I have a home-based gym with some free weights, exercise ball, yoga mat, resistance band, mini bands, etc. Depending on my mood, I do a lot of different online workouts and yoga and Pilates, and I really enjoy that. And I do carve out extra time for some yoga and deep breathing for about 15 minutes after that. So I don't check my phone, I don't check the news, I don't check social media until after I drop Stuart off at school or after I've done everything else in the morning that I've wanted to, had my breakfast, had my shower. I want to set the tone for my day, not have it be influenced by some of these outside sources. So I really want you to think about what's a way to start your day that you really enjoy doing. I know some people say they get up and they read for 10, 15, 20 minutes, their book that they're reading, whether it be fiction or nonfiction. It might be going out for a walk, getting some fresh air, maybe calling a friend or meeting a friend and going for a walk, doing a crossword or Wordle. So you think about what that looks like. And the next thing, number two strategy to prevent that afternoon slump is to stay hydrated and start your day with a glass of water as well. We do get dehydrated while we're sleeping, and a lot of people reach for that coffee first thing. So have a big glass of water when you wake up and aim for at least a 1/2 ounce of water per pound you weigh, up to 1 ounce of water per pound you weigh for the day, for your daily consumption. So let's say you weigh 150 pounds, you'll need at least 75 ounces of water. And using the metric system, I never really quite know how much that is, although I think a pint of beer is 16 ounces. But 1 liter is approximately 34 ounces of water. So if you're 150 pounds, you want to get at least over 2 liters of water, possibly higher. Because if we are dehydrated, we're going to feel more tired. We're going to feel more sluggish. We can have a headache. It's harder to focus. You can include herbal tea in that, but if it has caffeine in there, or if it's an alcoholic drink, so green tea, black tea, white tea, coffee, you get that diuretic effect. So you're going to need a little bit more. So definitely start with a non-dehydrating drink like herbal tea or water or lemon and water, and then make sure you have water accessible throughout the day. You may need to use a Waterminder app. You may need to have reminders around the house to get you to drink water, but it can make a huge difference. And a lot of times you don't even know you're dehydrated. You just feel tired and you suffer from brain fog. And one important thing to note, if you are making a lot of your food at home, you might not be getting enough salt earlier in the morning. So if you're having a breakfast that doesn't have any salt in it, you might add a pinch of salt to your water or to your smoothie or to whatever you're eating if there's no salt in there. That can help with giving you a little bit of energy as well. Next, I want you to think about getting outside within the first 2 hours of waking. So strategy number three is expose yourself to daylight. It doesn't have to be sunshine. If it's a cloudy day, you want to be outside a little bit longer to reap the benefits of the blue light, the broad spectrum light that you're being exposed to. We're really supposed to be beings living out in nature, of course, with shelter, but more in tune with the sun and the moon cycles. And unfortunately, we're very divorced from that. We want to get out within the first few hours of waking because that actually slows and stops our melatonin production that's been produced while we're sleeping and gets our cortisol released so we feel ready to go for the day. People hear cortisol and they think, oh, geez, that's a bad hormone. I don't want that to be released. But we actually need that to be released at the right amount at the right times. And in the morning, it should be released at its highest, not too high, when we see daylight, when we see broad spectrum light. So it may be you're sitting outside having your tea or your breakfast, you know, as it's getting colder, you can still do that and bundle up. It may be walking your kids to school or going for a 5-10 minute walk around the block. It doesn't have to be too long. 5-10 minutes can be enough if it's cloudier, maybe a little bit longer. And I'm also a big fan of using a light box. People like the Happy Light. I have a Verilux. It's a 10,000 lux. That's the measurement of the light strength, if I'm explaining it properly. But I put that on while I'm putting on my makeup, while I'm blow drying my hair, and I probably get exposed to it at least 5-10 minutes a day. So that's that broad spectrum light. And that gives me a good boost of energy. So if the sun's not rising until 7 or 8 and you can't get out, that would be the next best thing. But I like to do both of those because I walk Stuart to school, or if Pete's taking him in, I'll get out for a walk before I start work. But I always use the light box as I'm getting ready. And some people may put that on their table while they're having breakfast or on their desk if they have to check emails. So that's a good strategy. Looking at this list, I realize there's a lot that I do in the morning to give me a boost. So the next thing I do after, well, I guess I do the daylight after this, but after getting hydrated and moving my body and starting the day out in a way I want to, I end my shower with 2 to 3 minutes of cold water, sometimes longer. I used to do this with some breathing exercises in the shower, but I've had to combine it with the time where I shave my legs just to maximize my efficiency and time and not waste as much water. But I put the shower to as cold as it goes and I breathe through it and I shave my legs and I do a few breathing exercises just to add up to the 2 or 3 minutes. And it makes me feel so invigorated. If you haven't ended your shower in cold water before, you may start with 10 seconds, 30 seconds of a cool water spray at the end of your shower, and then you can build up to a longer amount of time. A lot of people that do this say they crave that cold. That actually stimulates the release of dopamine or feel-good hormones, a bit of adrenaline. So it gets our body revved up for the day. And you feel like you've accomplished something. So that's another kind of reward benefit. You know, if we do something difficult in the morning, like a workout, like a cold shower, we're going to get a boost because we've accomplished something. Then I'd be sure to have protein with my breakfast. I usually eat around 12 to 14 hours after I've eaten the night before. And I make sure I have protein because a lot of breakfasts can be lacking in that. And the protein is going to give you energy. It's going to help balance your blood sugar levels. So I love having, you know, some eggs. That's usually my go-to right now with some higher protein toast. That keeps me nice and full. Other options I've made are chia pudding with protein powder, smoothies with protein powder, aiming for about 20 grams of protein with your breakfast. So 2 or 3 eggs, a good scoop of protein powder can cover that. So don't just reach for that slice of toast, that croissant, that bowl of cereal. You want to amp it up with protein. So add some nut butter and hemp seeds to your slice of toast. You can even add protein powder to your cereal or to your oatmeal. So that's a really quick and easy way. And I love the pumpkin seed protein. I love hemp seed protein. There's lots of good options out there that mix well with cereal or oats. I'm not sure if I've talked about this before, but you can actually suffer from what's called email apnea. So when you're on screens, when you're checking email or you're on Zoom, you can actually breathe really shallowly and you're not getting your full oxygen capacity that you need. And this contributes to brain fog, fatigue. You might feel a little anxious or it's harder to focus. So getting in breathing exercises throughout the day will give us that oxygen that we need to make ATP, to make energy, to fuel our brain, to give us that boost. So even if you link doing some slow, deep breaths, you know, with every time you go to the washroom or every time you fill up your water glass when it's empty, that can make a world of difference. There's even apps that you can use to pop up reminders to do some breathing. And different apps that you can try that have energizing breath work include the Othership app, I believe the Calm Meditation app, the Insight Timer app, Headspace app, all have breathing exercises that you can use to energize yourself. And I really like the Breath of Fire, where it's a short, rapid exhale. And it's the inhalation is passive because you're really pushing out air with a quick exhale. It sounds kind of like a panting dog. A lot of these exercises can be found online, but even 1 to 3 minutes of Breath of Fire can really energize you. So use your breath. That's strategy number 6. So far I've covered strategy 1, start your day with doing something you love, whether that's movement or reading, etc. Strategy number 2, staying hydrated right when you wake up and throughout the day. Strategy 3, get out in daylight within the first few hours of waking and or use a light box. Strategy number 4, end your shower with cold water, or you could take a midday shower and have a cold shower. That'll work too. Strategy 5, have some protein with your breakfast. And strategy 6, practice breathing exercises regularly throughout the day. You want to prevent that email apnea. So I'm going to share 4 more tips to give you that boost when you feel like you're going to crash, when you want to reach for that coffee, when you want to reach for that sugary snack. So strategy number 7 is to take a movement break. Have you been sitting for a few hours? Of course, you're going to be exhausted because you are not circulating your blood, which is what delivers the oxygen and the nutrients to your brain, your cells, your organs. So things slow down. You're going to feel like falling asleep. You're going to feel like taking a nap. So you might get up and dance to your favorite song. You might walk up and down the stairs several times. You might walk around the block, go for a half hour walk. Even a 5-10 minute walk can make a huge difference. And if you compare it with getting outside again in the afternoon, even better to get that fresh air. Can you stand up during a phone meeting and just move your body a little bit? Or if your camera's off on Zoom, can you go for a walk while you have a meeting over the phone or if you don't need your camera on? Those are really good strategies. So make it fun. It can be short. It can be long, depending on what you can fit in the day. But a movement break, a movement snack, think of it like a quick and easy pick you up. Strategy number 8. This one's a fun one. This is involving the sense of smell. So some essential oils that you breathe in can really give you a boost. I really like peppermint essential oil. So I might put a few drops on a Kleenex and wave the Kleenex in front of my nose and breathe that in. I might put a drop on my hands and rub my hands together, hold my hands up to my face, not touching my eyes, of course, and breathe in. Depending on the type of peppermint oil, you might take a drop in a teeny bit of water or put a drop on your finger and hold it to the roof of your mouth if it's a food grade one. That can really wake you up. My other favorite essential oil to boost energy is grapefruit. So a lot of the citrus oils can really give you a lift. So whether you inhale it, you diffuse these in your diffuser that you might have in your office. The grapefruit, depending on the brand, you can also take a drop or two as well. So these are some options to give you a quick lift when you feel like you're going to crash. And strategy number 9, this sounds obvious, but a lot of times we don't do it, is to just actually take a break. Our body is telling us something when we're tired. So we're going to see, okay, are we hydrated? Have we eaten properly? Have we eaten enough? Have we gotten enough sleep, of course? But sometimes we just need to sit and have some peace and quiet. So maybe you'll do a short 5-minute meditation or a 5-minute breathing break. Maybe you'll lie down for a few minutes. Maybe you'll sit outside or on the couch and savor that cup of herbal tea. Really allow yourself some time and space to take some breaks. It is a lot if we have to push day in and day out. And a lot of us mamas, we're pushing in the morning to get the kids out the door. We're pushing in the day to get work done. And we might be multitasking by trying to do laundry and food prep if we're working from home and cleaning potentially. Then we're rushing to get the kids. We're going through, you know, dinner time, bedtime with hardly a second to spare for ourselves. So really trying to press the easy button with certain things so we have some time to breathe and just be. And strategy number 10, if all else fails, go for a piece of chocolate. I love dark chocolate. You don't want to have too much, obviously, because there is that caffeine. It can impact your sleep. And, you know, the sugar amounts might put you on a blood sugar roller coaster. But if you go for the darker varieties, you could even pair it with a few nuts because that'll just slow the release of glucose into your bloodstream. But this can give you a little boost. I love having dark chocolate after my lunch. That's the time of day that I enjoy having it. And I may have a midday square after breakfast. The midday squares, I guess I didn't talk about because that's actually my mama must have. These are some great bars that are made with chocolate and dates, and there's some good fiber in there. They're not high in sugar and they are really nice and dark. You can get a peanut butter flavor, a fudge flavor, an almond crunch flavor. So that can be a good go-to as well. For the dark chocolate, I love Zazu Bean. I love Giddy Yo-Yo. The darker, the better. So if all else fails, enjoy a little bit of dark chocolate. But if you're feeling burnt out and it's feeling unmanageable, there are reasons for fatigue and burnout. So a couple of episodes you may want to check out that we've done in the past. Episode 73 on why can't I sleep? So if you're not getting enough or good quality sleep, listen to that. If your iron is low, you can definitely be fatigued. So listen to episode 138, the top five reasons why you and your kids need iron. If you suffer from hypothyroidism, and a lot of women are undiagnosed, listen to episode 88, exhausted, gaining weight, and forgetful. Is it your thyroid? And not a lot of people are aware about the adrenal glands. So these govern our cortisol release, our long-term and short-term stress hormone release. If we're suffering from burnout, these can be impacted, and there's strategies to test for that and strategies to treat. So listen to episode 137, Tired and Wired, what you need to know about stress, cortisol, and your adrenal glands. So pick and choose what you like from this list and share on social media some of your quick and easy pick-me-ups. We all can learn from each other, but really listen to your body. A lot of times we are doing way too much and we can't keep that pace up forever. And as I've mentioned before, I tried to after having my son Stuart. I kind of got away with it when I didn't have kids. Well, I have one kid, so when I didn't have a kid, but I had no reserve after he was born, and I was burnt out after a while trying to do all the things. I suffered from postpartum anxiety, you know, where our immune system can get weaker if we're really not allowing for rest. So we don't want to just push through and have, you know, that cup of caffeine, that bar of chocolate all the time, because then we can actually burn ourselves out in the long term because then we're doing too much. So really listening to your body, trying to get that rest, check out some of those other episodes. But the biggest thing to do to boost energy is inject some fun and play into your day. So hopefully you can carve out a bit of time for that. So now I'll move to my super mom moment. So yesterday I was inspired. I get days like this once in a while. Pete took Stuart to Canada's Wonderland with his friend. And I decided to stay home because I was feeling a little bit run down and I knew I needed to just take it easy. And Wonderland was going to be a bit overstimulating, although I love roller coasters and I love going there. So I was a little bit disappointed, but I knew it was the right thing. But I focused my energy on cooking and baking up a storm. So that can fill me up. It's something that I do that is really mindful and it feels good to create something. Mind you, some days it's the last thing I want to do, especially because of all the cleanup. But yesterday I was inspired. So I made crepes for breakfast. I roasted some squash and onions and garlic and zucchini because I'm going to make some squash soup. And then we could have the zucchini added to our dinners and lunches. I used the bones from a whole roasted chicken and I made broth in the Instant Pot. I also made oatmeal bars that are school friendly and I made pumpkin muffins that are not school friendly, but delicious nonetheless. So that was really fun to cook and bake. And I was sure to get in some outside time and walking yesterday too. My mama mess up is that I've been so focused lately on work, on networking events, on scheduling playdates for Stuart, that I've neglected to book a friend get together or a girls' night out. So that's on my list now. I'm going to put something in the calendar. I'm going to make it happen. And I have some events coming up that I'm really looking forward to. So sometimes we can get caught in the to-do list and not make a list of what we actually want to do. So I need to add some more to that list and actually cross those off. And I already alluded to my mama's must-have, but I love the midday squares. So definitely check them out. They're a perfect serving size. You get that sugar, that chocolate craving satisfied, and you know your blood sugar levels aren't spiking and you have a nice sustained release energy from having that. So what else is happening? So Dr. Tony's next hypnobirthing session for expecting parents looking to decrease fear and anxiety to support their natural instincts around labor and birth is happening this fall. Join her at www.hypnobirthingcalgary.com/register. I have an amazing meetup group called Wild Women Adventures that you can join. So go to Wild Women Adventures on Meetup and sign up so you can see all the exciting virtual and in-person events I have planned. You can email us or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love you to subscribe, leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. And you can also support us by visiting our Patreon page. Please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. Until next time, stay safe and healthy, everybody.